I'm back. I'm in England. Back home. Yes, right. How are we all doing? Hope we're all doing really, really well. If you're new to the channel, make sure you are subscribing. Get involved in the conversation. Smash a like, subscribe. Let's go up the Villa. I've had a bit of a mad one, but Justin, how are you?
I'm amazing, to be honest. I'm, you know, on the group chat, I've loved living every minute through your videos and updates and pictures. And honestly, I've felt a bit left out this year because I haven't been able to get to an away European game for many reasons. I just haven't been able to do it. I was hoping the final would be the one, but I was buzzing when you said you'd got tickets for the semi-final and just to see your journey and many others, to be honest. So what was it like? You know, talk us through it, Loki boy.
Oh, I've honestly had the best time ever, like the best. You know, just being with Villa fans in Athens and experiencing, you know, a bit of their culture, and they're just lovely, lovely people. And, you know, the anticipation ahead of like a big European game, you know, I've never experienced it. I've never been to a European semi-final. I've never been in a stadium with that much noise and passion. And it was just like a brilliant, brilliant trip. And I think you come away from it and, yeah, we were all, you know, disappointed. We want to win it. We want to get to the final. We want to play better. But I just come away from it like immensely proud of this team and just where we are. And, you know, we've said it, and many Villa fans have said it on the pod, that we're not the finished article. We're going to get better. We're only in the infancy of Unai Emery's era, and to get to a semi-final and experience it, it's just absolutely amazing. And I tell you what, right, the Olympiacos fans were absolutely brilliant. Like, you know, I've had a lot of interaction with them on TikTok, especially on TikTok. That's their go-to place. So while I was there, I was uploading TikTok after TikTok after TikTok. And, you know, when I was at the stadium, so I did a bit of, you know, a lot of you watched it when I was at the stadium. And they were talking there. And, you know, I said some really kind words about them sort of after it. So just sort of saying, like, congratulations. And, you know, that they're all such nice people. And I think in football, you have that rivalry, you know, at the start. I want to beat you. I you know, you're giving it to them. And but at the end, you know, when their players come through, and it was the Villa fans that started it, because their players were walking around the pitch. Now, when they got to the Villa area, we all started clapping them. And then from that moment, they all started clapping us and we started clapping them. And, you know, that's football. That's what it does. You know, we're from different countries, different cultures. But the one thing that we love is football, and then that mutual respect. And I just think it was absolutely fantastic. So, you know, fair play to them. They deserved it. You know, they deserved to go through. It wasn't like, you know, it was a dodgy decision and et cetera. They fully deserved to beat us. And in the end, fair play to them. And I think from a Villa point of view, we'll have learned a lot. You know, the players have learned a lot. The club's learned a lot. The fans have learned a lot. You know, we've learned how now to approach European games, how to look at European games, how to manage European games. And we fell short. But anyone that thinks it's a complete negative that we lost, there's a far bigger picture to be looking at. And that bigger picture is very, very bright. And absolutely love it. So what did you make of it, Justin? Being at home watching it?
Yeah, I was really looking forward to the game. I was anticipating, hopefully, that we could pull off, I'm not going to say a miracle, because I don't think it would have been a miracle result, 2-0 away from home. We've seen us play unbelievable this season, you know, like Arsenal away, we won 2-0 at a much harder place, I would think, than Olympiacos, much harder team to play against than them. So I was really, you know, looking forward to the game, and I thought we started well, and we, that goal killed us, really, didn't it? I think the reality is that goal killed the game, and they just sat back there and so took the pressure. Their manager has to take a huge, you know, we rave about Unai Emery, and he's been nothing short of sensational for Villa, but I think Mandela Barr's was brilliant. I think his experience and the way he set him up nullified us really. And yes, we all know that we're not the team we was earlier in the season, and I think had that Villa team turned up in these two games, we go through, but it wasn't to be. It wasn't our night, it wasn't our season, was it? But like you say, I echo everything you're saying, you know, European football and being back in Europe, hopefully for the foreseeable future, is going to bring lots of these nights. And you know, from my youth back in the 80s, horrible days of trouble and violence. And I don't want to see them days anymore. They bring absolutely nothing to football. And they are absolutely pointless. So go away, go abroad, support your team, be passionate, be vocal, be loud, be noisy, but be respectful. And that's what I think Villa fans have done throughout this whole experience. Everybody I've spoken to that's been abroad has enjoyed every game. They've enjoyed visiting these cities. And it's like one of them like roulette wheel things, isn't it? When you get the draw, you're like, where are we going next? Where are we going next? You know, it's totally random. We could get this team or that team and we're going to go to see this city. People that went to Lille, I know people that are booked to go back to Lille to just spend time there because they enjoyed it that much. And I'm looking forward to next season because I'm definitely going to go to one or two away games. So, you know, living your experience through the pod and the messaging and lots of my friends that have been, I'm all for it. And yes, it's disappointing. Yes, we wanted to go to the final. Of course we did. But we hold our hands up. We you know, we weren't the very good, was we? And they deserve to go through. So we draw a line under it. We put it down as experience. I think one of the really nice things that's happened today is Finlay Munro's dad's message on a tweet I put out earlier. He's commented underneath it that his lad, unfortunately, they couldn't, because it was a last minute thing, him going on the bench with all the young kids, they weren't in the stadium to see him come on and make his debut for Villa. And what a place to make your debut as a young kid. So things like that are nice. You know, they pass you by a bit on the night because you're disappointed. But what an experience for those young kids, you know, flooding the bench and getting on at the end and in the European semi-final. So we live to fight another day and we've still got lots to play for this season.
Yeah, and I did like that from Unai as well, because those lads that came on have been in and around training. They've been working hard. They've been pushing the first teamers. And for them to come on and get and that blonde-haired kid running round and putting that tackle in, and he was class, man. He was so good. Number 69, weren't he? Number 69, come on. And it was absolutely brilliant. So fair play to him. But, you know, the European dream's over for this year. Funny things happen, you know. Fiorentina lost out last year. They've made the final, you know. So, you look at them, do you know what I mean? They made it. Are they going to go and win it this year? Who knows? So, you know, we've got a long way to go. And I'm immensely proud of what we've done. And, you know, echoing on what you've said, you know, we don't make excuses, but we are, squad-wise, a million miles off what we were at the start of the season. You know, that bench. I mean, where's Moreno? Has he woke up injured? He was at Brighton and he went there and he's like, Christ, like, what's happened? So, yeah, frustrating. But, you know, we just got to move on now and focus. So we'll move on now. I didn't really know what to do on this episode because, you know, we've only got a couple of days till we play Liverpool. And I thought, well, we'll do the Liverpool preview. We'll chat about everything. So Liverpool up next. And tough game. Very, very tough game. And Klopp's last away game. And for whatever you think of Klopp, you know, he's been a brilliant manager for Liverpool. So I just wanted to just mention Klopp as well, to be fair, because he's been absolutely brilliant for Liverpool. And, you know, that passion that he's brought to Liverpool and the way he's galvanised Liverpool and the fans and the squad. And we've now got that with Unai Emery. Like, how we feel about Unai Emery, they've got that for Klopp times 10,000 because they've won Premier League with him, they've won Champions League, they've won FA Cup, they've won League Cup. And he's really, really pushed Pep. And he's gave us some really good title races. So the football that he's brought to England has been really, really good. So Klopp's last game, fair play to him. And hopefully he loses his last away game But I don't want to sound too negative, Justin, but I don't think we're going to win another game this season. I've got to be honest. I don't know. How do you feel about the next two? I really can't see us winning another game.
I mean, there's no doubt our form has dropped off a cliff, hasn't it? It hasn't just ebbed away. It's just dropped away. I mean, squad-wise, I looked today, and out of the 23 outfield players that are listed on the official website, 9 of those were missing last night. I mean, that is just horrific. You know, we had one sub that we could come on and change the game, that we had any kind of experience. So based on that, and based on that our on-field form isn't good. But having said that, I've just looked, and Liverpool, last 5, they're below us in the form table. So, it's hard to make a case that we're going to go out and then smash Liverpool. That's not going to happen. We're not going to play the football from the start of the season. What we are in now is, can we just put one performance together in the next 2 games? That's what I'm looking at. It would be lovely to do it on Monday night. Forget what Spurs are, you know, looking at what Spurs are doing. And let's just go and let's go and take that 4th place now. Let's not be handed to it by Spurs getting hammered by Man City. Let's go and take the 4th place, because we deserve to be 4th this season. We deserve to be the 4th best team in the Premier League and in England this season. I have no doubt over the whole season, we are the 4th best team in England. So what would be nice now is to finish the season on a little bit of a high, go and beat Liverpool at home, one of the big scalps, one of the big clubs, you know, and deservedly then finish the season with a bit of kudos in it. And can that happen? Absolutely, it could happen. You know, we're going to have to pull out a performance that we haven't seen in the last few weeks. And yes, they are pretty much dead on their feet. The midfield, I've been saying it for weeks, is just swamped every game. They can't cope. I was praying Tielemans would be back for it to help the lads out, but the experience isn't there, and Watkins just isn't getting any service whatsoever. So we could talk for 20 minutes on what's going wrong, and it's not because we're not a good side. It's not because we haven't got good players. It's not because the manager doesn't know what he's doing. It's none of those things. The season is just has done us. You know, I feel shattered and exhausted mentally and physically, and I haven't been on the pitch, you know, just following it. It's been an absolute whirlwind of a season. So they get a total pass from me. Can they put in a 90-minute performance and win the game on Monday night? Absolutely. Will they? Oh, I don't know.
I'll tell you what would be nice. What would be nice is for us to... Now, I'm not saying Burnley can't get anything against Spurs, because I think they probably can. Yeah. I think they could either draw or they could beat them, because they need to stay up, and Spurs' form has fallen off a cliff. What I would love on Monday at Villa Park is that when they do that lap of honour for their last home game, is that we've got Champions League, because would be unbelievable. To applaud that team walking around that pitch, having secured Champions League football, it's probably going to be done on Tuesday after Spurs get beat against Man City. So we won't really at home get to celebrate it. So
let's do it. Yeah.
That's what I would love. So
I think
I'd absolutely love it. And you know, me, I said earlier, I don't think we're going to win another game. We're going to get Champions League. Like, we are going to get Champions League, because Man City do not drop points. And you can see all of the Spurs accounts now that are coming out saying, we do not want to win on Tuesday because we do not want to give the title to Arsenal. So I really can't see it. So that's what I think's going to happen. But Justin, thoughts on like... You mentioned the midfield earlier. Like, I'm just going to throw up this now. Like, this was the momentum bar against Olympiacos. So I've not really done too much prepping for this episode because I've only just got back. But here we go. The website's gone. Right. So here we can see the momentum bar of the game against Olympiacos. So It was all Villa, right? It was all Villa, and that's fine. And you look at possession, and I know a lot of you would probably say, well, it's what you do with it. But 74% possession we had. The problem with that was we didn't really do anything with it. And if we could just get a little spark from that front three of Bailey, Diaby, Watkins, then it would give me a bit more hope going into this game. Because just one thing I felt like watching the game last night was, you know, it get into an half-decent area and the quality just deserted us. And that's just the frustrating thing with it there. Because to me, it felt like we did so well up until a point. And then when we got to that point, it was like, oh, now, like, do you know what I mean? Like, we just need that summit.
I think that the way they set up, I mean, the momentum bar paints a picture of the game, but I think in this instance, I think it's a bit of a false representation of the game, because I think they were more than happy to let us have the ball. Mm. They just literally went, you have the ball in your half, and then you have it up to probably almost up to the 18-yard box. Have the ball, just have it. We're going to have it sit in a low block. We're going to battle for our lives. We're going to, you know, you've got to win this game. You know, we undenied how they were going to play it. And I think they basically played the perfect game. Obviously, the two-goal lead gives them that chance to sit in. I thought it was a bit risky. Now, had Ollie Watkins scored the header, I think then that blows their plan out of the water, because all of a sudden, not only did we have a lot of possession, but we've suddenly got a goal back and we're now only one behind them. And their plan is to sit in. And that was very dangerous. Luckily for them, they broke and managed to nick a goal in the break. And that meant that the way they were set up was even, they just doubled down on it. Just have the ball, lads. Just knock it around. Just, you have it all there all day long. And then, you know, and the problem we had was, like you said, once we got into the final third, we wasn't able to open them up. You know, at the likes of Ollie Watkins and Moussa Diaby and Leon Bailey, at times, all three of them have been sensational this season. They wasn't at their best, so their first touch was letting them down. The final ball was letting them down. The crossing was letting them down. You know, there was, as we saw, like early Leon Bailey days, you know, it was like that pass was just going slightly astray, it was just going behind somebody. And we saw it all the way up to the end of the game when Timmy Rabunim come on, and I think one of his first passes went straight out of play. And you could see that body language and everything. And this is just a part of football, you know. The confidence has gone at the wrong time. And earlier in the season, even like 2 months ago, we were seeing them pinging it around, 1-2s and brilliant attacking sections of games when we were for 10 or 15 minutes. We were just ripping teams apart. So that was a real shame. But can we replicate anything like that now? Yes, we can. But as I said earlier, we've got to just try and hope it's a bit of a one-off thing where all of a sudden we get it back and it sparks off, and we're going to need a good opening 10. It'd be nice to start the game similar to the way we started against Olympiacos, confident, on the ball, lots of possession and probing. But we just need that final third to be better. You know, we need them to be better in that final third and not slip. And the other worry is, obviously, we're shipping goals all the time, which is a big concern. So these things will be addressed in the summer. There's no question about that. Next season, we'll see. Players are going to come. Players are going to go. That's for another day. That's after the season ends. We know that. So can we get something in the next two games? Yes, we can. How do we do it with the players we've got missing and the ones that are playing out of form and absolutely knackered? It's going to be very difficult, isn't it? But a home game is going to massively help. Massive sold-out crowd. Just get behind the lads and hope we can start the game well. And whatever the result, I will say this right now, Luke, whatever the result on Monday night, and I know this has been a bit of conjecture about people leaving, unless you really have to go, as many people as possible, stay and cheer the lads on for the lap of appreciation or whatever they call it these days, because they bloody deserve it. Mm. They bloody deserve it this season, honestly. So, yeah. I'm very hopeful we can pull one out of the bag.
Up the Villa. Right. That's us done then for today's episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. and enjoyed all of our content that we've had throughout the European campaign as well. We will have the opposition preview that will be out at the weekend as well. So we've got a good guest coming on the show as well. So cheers, everyone. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.